What happens when someone approaches you with kindness and goodwill and attention to you and your career, and you're not in a position to really be able to hear it, and you just fake it because you were denied a $10 avocado toast that you waited 40 minutes for? Tune in to find out.
Today, what are you thinking about when you're walking down the street? Is your head in a cloud? Don't you want to know what's going on? Let's go! Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Let's check in with Mary Lynn.
Did you ever get caught doing something and then you realize you're not really doing anything, but that you needed to not be doing the thing that the person was asking you to do, but then you can't say no, so you just do it? I guess I'm just talking about social interactions. There was one at work today. I'm working on an independent film in downtown Los Angeles, and I just walked back on set, and this woman who was part of the production kind of lit up and introduced herself to me, and she said, "We haven't, you know, officially met before. I am so-and-so, we'll call her Julia, for the sake of, you know, keeping her identity, because I don't want to out anybody. She didn't do anything wrong. She was very sweet to me and said, "Oh my gosh, I was watching Grey's Anatomy last night, and you were in it." Now, I did one episode of Grey's Anatomy, and that show has been on for 20,000 seasons. And so you gotta be a real fan. And also, to recognize me in that, I mean, I guess I'm pretty recognizable, but I it was just interesting that one episode was on. And I played a woman who, all I can remember about my part, quite honestly, was that I had a worm. It's some kind of parasite. Oh, and I was bickering with my husband. It's sort of coming back to me now, but she reminded me because it was fresh in her mind, and she said, "You know, it was so sweet because you guys were into each other, then you weren't into each other." It was the guy who I love, this actor, Patrick Fischler, who I haven't worked with since. I haven't even seen him since then. That was quite a few years ago now that I did my one episode of Grey's Anatomy. Gosh. 6 years ago? I don't know. I would have to look it up. But I remember it was 2 or 3 days of work, and then I had this parasite, and she saw it last night, and she was describing the story to me, and I just acted as if I remembered it, and I really didn't remember that well. But the thing was, I kept trying to. I was 4 steps away from where the food table was on set, and there's not really anything great there, and I was starving, like starving to the point where I was starting to lose focus and feeling a little bit dizzy and ill, which was my own doing. I didn't really eat a meal, and then I was going through the whole day, and it was going on like 1 or 2 o'clock, and I had just waited for avocado toast. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. That's a whole other story, but she was complimenting me, and I couldn't just say, "Hey, I can't talk right now." I don't know how to do that smoothly. I would have just been like, "I gotta go." So instead, I just am really open and taking it in, and I'm smiling, and I'm like, "Oh, this is taking so much energy out of me. I'm just gonna fall over right here." And I just feel like she's locked into me, like I'm gonna be rude if I pull away from her and walk away right into this middle of this interaction. I know I'm making too big of a deal out of it, but I'm kind of emphasizing something that's small that you do in these moments because you think, "Oh, it's not a big deal. It's just going to be a couple minutes." But my energy was split because I just wanted to get something to eat, and I was tired, but I was having to like smile and be attentive to her thing because you know what it is? It's because she went out on a limb to talk to me. She put the energy out there, and I didn't want to drop the ball. I wanted to validate her for taking a chance in that way. I didn't want to be closed off. Is it because I want people to like me? Am I making it like I'm, like it's this grandiose, amazing thing? Or am I just, I don't have the balls to do what I want to do? Okay, I'm talking about this way too much. It's just a simple interaction, and I couldn't fully be there for it, but I was. And then She saw me in something else, which was a movie I did called In Search of Fellini. And then I was even more locked in because she's talking about me and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so many credits. I'm such an international superstar. It's amazing. And this was this independent movie. And she goes, I had to turn it off because it's about this girl who goes on this, is based on Nancy Cartwright's, who's the voice of Bart Simpson. She did this independent movie that was based on a real life experience where she left to discover the director Fellini. Like, she really did try to go meet him, and she didn't have that much money, and she was really young, and she left and went to Italy. But the movie sort of like takes off and imagines this. I think something dangerous did happen to her in real life, but in the movie, and it sort of crunches together a few instances in Nancy's real life, and then, you know, becomes its own narrative in its own right. But it was based on, like, her mom really did die of cancer, I think. I can't quite remember exactly. But in the movie, this woman is, like, very sheltered, and she discovers the director Fellini, and then her mom's dying of cancer, but her mom is trying to keep it from her, but she overhears, and then it's sort of this dreamy movie. You don't really know if it's really happening or not, and then she runs away to Italy to try to meet Fellini, and this woman's telling me this, oh, I saw you in that, you were so great in it. I was really good in it, you guys. I was not the woman that had cancer, I was the friend, the sister of the woman who had cancer, and so I'm trying to help her push her daughter out of the nest, and so point of this, oh, she was saying that it then when the young woman has her all these first formative experiences, because she's very sheltered and very close to her mom, and the Fellini film kind of gives her this view into that the world isn't as innocent as her mom, you know, brought her up to think it was, and so there's this underbelly that she discovers through the director. And so anyway, then she has these instances that sort of parallel stuff from a Fellini movie. And then in the movie, it's a little bit dangerous. Like, this guy almost tries to rape her in an alley. And these people go, oh, come to this party with us. Isn't she so cute? And they take advantage of her. And so this woman on set, Julia, we're calling her, she says, I couldn't watch it because bad stuff started happening to her and I had to turn it off. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I get it. And we're talking about the movies and it's a really nice conversation. And all I'm thinking is, I'm so hungry. And then I turn and this other woman was kind of overhearing it. And she said, I just saw you in Night School. And then the first woman, Julia, was like, and I told my friend, like, she's on this movie, and she's so funny, and she's so nice. I think I need to start being mean, is what I'm saying. And also, I think this is just turning into a not-so-humble brag about how wonderful and talented I am. But truly, the way I'm saying it makes me sound amazing, which I am. But me in my real life, I'm just not even thinking about that. And then I have to go there and remember, oh, that's me. Like, I'm the person that did all this stuff. And I have to step into that and be gracious and willing, because it's a wonderful thing when you actually get to talk to your work about your work with somebody. But I was hot and, you know, I have makeup and hair done and I'm sort of, not a lot, but like I can, it's just hot outside. I'm just hungry and I'm sort of trying to eye there's like these M&Ms, these peanut M&Ms. You know, I had two large handfuls of them, but they're sitting out in the sun. And so I'm talking to her about Grey's Anatomy and this movie In Search of Fellini. And I'm like, and then that finishes. And this other woman's talking about one of my other credits. I was in this Kevin Hart movie and I'm just sitting here going, oh my gosh, I need to eat. And I don't know what's wrong with me that I can't just make it happen. Like, I can't just go, hey, production, get me somebody and go get me some food. And instead, because I'm just trying to fix the problem right there. That's why. So I go to the snacks. I finish talking. It's fine. I get a LaCroix. It's pretty cold. It's about 100 degrees out. So that was good. And then Well, I heard there's like poison in that or something. And so then I have the M&Ms. I put in a cup some almonds, some walnuts, some peanut butter, pretzels, and some jerky, some beef jerky, and some M&Ms. And gosh darn, if I wasn't satiated and that's what I needed to feel okay, like I wasn't going to collapse. And then, you know, the world started, I started to calm down and want to talk to people again. But here's what happened, why I waited so long to get food. First of all, I had a light breakfast and I haven't been working out, so I have not been wanting to eat a lot in the morning, which is fine. But then around 11, you're just like starving. And then I'm in the middle of doing something. That's why we have meal times, people. That's why you're supposed to get up, have a meal, stop in the middle of the day, have another meal, stop. But then I'm in the middle of doing stuff, so I don't want to stop and have a whole breakfast. But then I'm starving by 11. I'm at an audition, 12, driving, 1, I'm at work. I'm supposed to be working, getting ready to go, you know, to set, 2, and then this is a nightmare. But then what ended up happening when I was on set downtown LA is I had this avocado toast that somebody brought me because they were going to the coffee shop. And I just happened to get lucky and give them money and say, bring me back. And, you know, probably some of you are like, what is she talking about? You have to, you know, aren't there food on set? A lot of times they're not. And I know I've done a podcast about being on an independent movie before, and I've done quite a few of them recently. And these low-budget movies, they're trying to save money. So they don't have a surplus of food. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Those M&Ms are probably from some fucking bulk bag, and they're just sitting out there in the sun, and so they try to make use and have the same snacks as long as they can. So if you're out there thinking like, oh, your job is so cush, why would you be independently buying food from a cafe? Sometimes you can't wait till, you know, your break is, if it's a 12-hour day, work day, then 6 hours in is when you're going to have your lunch, right? So I had this avocado toast from this really good coffee shop, and I was like, I'm just going to stop there. My hair and makeup is done. I'm in a wardrobe, but I know they're on the scene before, so I know I have some time. Also, I'm really close by. I'm just going to pop in this coffee shop. The set is across the street from the coffee shop. I go in there. I order the avocado toast. It's $10. It comes with a soft boiled egg sliced in half and some other, I don't even remember. It has some other crazy ingredients. You know how stuff, even avocado toast can be really basic, but then they have like a bunch of stuff on it. But I'm down for it because I'm starving. And I had it the other day, and the other day I was like, oh, it's kind of weird because there's some type of, I don't know if it's like onions, caramel, I don't know. There was some, God, now it's really going to bother me. Some odd, not truffle oil, but something of that. Not quite as fancy, but where you're just like, oh, I didn't really need all that information on my avocado toast with a soft boiled egg. It's kind of crazy. But I knew what it was. I was prepared for it. It was just enough to, it was going to keep me going. So I'm there. This is before my snack food extravaganza. This is part of the reason why I was so sketched out when I encountered this woman. It's like, the theme of what I'm saying is when someone encounters you and you don't have your like boundaries up and you're sort of open to them, but you have something else completely on your mind. So, which in my case was food. So anyway, this is what happened before I encountered Julia, is that I was waiting for this avocado toast. I paid. I was waiting. I was talking to my castmate. So the time was going by really fast and we had nowhere to go. So we're just standing there talking 10 minutes. 12 minutes, 15 minutes. And I was doing that thing where I was like, oh, wait, did I order food? Like, I forgot I ordered food. 20 minutes goes by. Somebody else from our crew comes in there. We're all three of us talking. They both got drinks. I got something to eat, so I'm still sitting there. And the cat just opened the door and let himself in. Sure, sure, come on in. So I'm waiting. It's going on 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I want to look at my watch because I don't remember exactly what time I came in there. And I go up and I say to the woman behind the counter, "Hey, and I know myself. Even right now, I might sound a little bit sarcastic or off or distant, and I'm not. But I'm saying this in this moment, I'm also an actor, and I'm used to coming off weird. So I was conscious of the fact of how nice I was being. You know what I mean? I'm like, I know I'm not making some weird face. I might even be smiling, if you can imagine that. And I slowly, in a relaxed manner, said, "Hey, I ordered this avocado toast a while ago." And she's like, "Yeah, someone will bring it out from the kitchen." Kind of cut me off and put me in my place with her energy. Was like, "Hey, back off. They're going to bring it to you." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Thanks." Waiting. Going on 40 minutes. And I'm talking to my castmate. And we're just kind of laughing about it. She's like, "You should say something. You got to say something." And I'm like, this is so weird. Like, it's been a really long time. So I'm standing in line, I'm being polite, and I said, "Hey, so, yeah, I've been waiting for this avocado toast, and it's been a really long time." And she's like, "You want a refund?" And I said, "Yeah." Well, before the refund, she's like, "Yeah, he's really busy back there. They got a big party." And I was like, "Oh, okay." She goes, "You want a refund?" And I said, "Yes." Then I was waiting there going, what is wrong with this picture? You're going to offer me a refund, which is the right thing to do. And I said, "Well, what, you know, I also wanted my food. Like, what happened?" And she said, "He's just really busy. We can't control how busy the kitchen is." And I said, "Oh, I didn't know that." And she said, "Yeah, we don't have anything to do with that, and we don't know how to help him." And I said, "It's weird that you are acting to me as if I've done something wrong when I just wanted my food, so I don't really understand." And that's when she said the thing about, "Yeah, we don't have anything to do with that." And they were laughing at me. It was like two of them ganged up on me. And they did this passive-aggressive, like, "Oh, she doesn't get how things work." That was their attitude to me. Like, I didn't understand what was happening. And that's when I said, "You guys are acting like I did something wrong or I'm the problem, when really I just ordered this thing and it never came out." And that's when she said the thing about that the kitchen doesn't have anything to do with us. And I said, "Well, that's the menu that I said, "Oh, is that not the menu of here? The one that I just read and ordered from you off that menu that's in this place that I'm standing in." And she said, "Yes, that's the menu for here, but we just, you know, we can't control what's happening back there." So there was never an acknowledgement. It felt so bad to me. And they were doing this thing with their attitude as if I was taking it personally and I shouldn't have been. Like, it was borderline if I had said one or two more things. I wanted to just say, "Oh, so you guys are just assholes is what you're telling me." But I was walking away thinking they would just look at me as if I was a crazy customer. And I started to think maybe it is the apocalypse. Because there's no, my idea of customer service or the customer's right. Like, I went to a super generalized place, like it's a hipster, like millennial place, and they can't handle their business, and they get one order, and, you know, they're fed up with it. They're not even the people at the front of the house that have to take the orders who are like, "We don't have anything to do with it." They're a little bit fed up with it, but at a core level, they've never been trained that it's their job to care what happens to the people at the front of the house. You know, they didn't have that ingrained in them to go, "Oh, I'm so sorry, and let me go check on it." Like, when did that go by the wayside? When did we become it's my problem. And by the way, you couldn't even see where the kitchen was. I was talking to my castmate about that. She's like, where is even the kitchen? And I'm like, I don't know. It was very much like nondescript doors. And then this woman kept coming out, refilling the ice. And then finally, this guy came out with two bags. This was before I confronted. I'm doing a lot of backtracking this, you know, and I thought it was him. And it was just part of his big order. So he's standing there going, Nicole, order for Nicole. I'm like, where? What happened to my avocado toast? So I got the refund, but it's so strange how I got the refund. So I did feel better and I was like, I'm going to let this go, but I almost didn't want to. I wanted to stay there and argue with them. I wanted to stay there and say, you can't do this. Like, part of this job is caring about what you're doing and connecting it. You can't just disconnect from the kitchen. Who came up with this business model? Nice business model. Like, we just fall apart and are assholes and make the customers wrong, I guess. The customer is wrong is the new way we're living nowadays. And I'm sorry I just blamed that on millennials. But frankly, I don't know what else to do in this moment because that's how they made me feel. And I know it's a spiritual truth to not take things personally, and I've learned a lot about detaching, and certainly in my real life, when the shit's hitting the fan, it's always good to detach, but sometimes it is personal, and sometimes you need to fight to make things right, and I'm not talking about legit social issues or people who are fighting for serious things. I'm just talking about my own petty grievances at this point, and for just me and the way my personality works, wanting to please people and not confront. I wish I would have fought with them more because when I left, I was dissatisfied. I didn't want my money back. That's what it is. I didn't want my money back. I wanted the thing that I ordered and I wanted it within a reasonable amount of time. So I was the asshole. I was walking out of there with my $10, but also mud on my face because I was just made myself laugh because I was standing there for 40 minutes and I paid for something that I did not receive in your place of business. And nobody even cared to apologize. It's not even an apology. I guess it is an apology. It's, I'm sorry this happened, or just fix it. I guess that would be the other option. How about you fix it and apologize? Isn't that the way things are supposed to be? That when you are engaged with something or you have a service, you're supposed to be invested, right? I mean, I guess I've had plenty of shitty jobs where I've had zero investment, but I faked it when I talked to the customer. And even in some of my shitty jobs, I'll have to investigate this. I should do a breakdown of all my jobs because there certainly have been jobs where I've just been completely removed. But that didn't seem to be the case with these women. You know what I mean? Like, they looked cute. I mean, by cute, I mean their whole vibe and their energy. They were engaging with the customers. They were serving coffees and making them all day long. You have to have a certain level of caring. But when it came to the thing that was just out of their hands, they just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've had jobs where I've been completely despondent. But like, let's say I'm waiting tables. Another one I can think of was also like a just to go counter. Both of them were restaurants. I've been in the food service industry and I'm not the best at it. There have been jobs that I've hated, but you still know that you're providing a service and you still don't want to be a dick. Like, I had some basic level of wanting to do a good job. That's what I'm saying. These women were doing a good job until something happened that they didn't feel was their problem because they weren't trained to think it was their problem. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm going back to the same place tomorrow. Will I get the avocado toast again? Will I be waited on by the same women? Will this ever be fixed? Will I talk to the owner? Is the customer still right? Is my question. Am I behind? Is there a new way of serving people where it's like, you don't care, and I'm supposed to leave like 40 minutes later. Okay, cool. I didn't get my thing. Bye, you guys. See you next time. What the hell just happened? When did it all fall apart and become so gross? All right, that just made me really hungry. I'm going to go make some homemade avocado toast. Thanks for listening, you guys.